All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Close Up, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and today we got my main man, we got Charles Skinny Hardaway, the newest member of the Orlando Magic HQ. He is a co-host of our post-game spaces, and sometimes even more than that, our Bleacher Report live sessions, all sorts of stuff. Skinny, what's going on, my man? Welcome to the show, and welcome to the HQ team.
Wow, Stephen, what a beautiful intro from a beautiful man. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm super excited, to be here, part of HQ, man. It's an ever-growing family. Well, man, it's just a lot of emotions, a lot of good feelings. The last week has been really, really good to me. Talking to everybody, meeting everybody, for the most part, pretty much knew everybody. So. It's been smooth transition. I'm excited to just continue to bring, you know, basketball analysis to it, have a little fun with it, and do stuff like this. Get to talk with great basketball minds like yourself. So, pleasure to be here, man.
Man, you fit in so naturally and well with Bryce and Stanley, with that whole group. It was one of the easiest decisions that Al and I and Anthony and I all had to make together. It was like, Should we bring Skinny on and like just make this official? He's already kind of basically doing it anyways. Yes, let's go. So we're psyched to have you on the team officially and just continuing to keep this HQ train going. Listeners, we are recording this Monday, February 26th at 7:47 Pacific time. We're recording it tonight. You know, it's a late night. You're going to be listening to this on Tuesday. Before we get into all sorts of fun topics, I mean, we're talking the latest with the what's going on with the Magic, with the recent play, the last couple of games since the All-Star break. We got some injury bugs kind of sneaking around again, but also kind of getting away with some stuff, so we're going to be okay there, but we're going to deep dive into that, look at the upcoming schedule and some playoff standing races that are going on right now. But before we get into all that, just get into a couple of announcements, talk about our sponsors. We got a new one, which is pretty cool. But first thing we're going to talk about is the Orlando Magic HQ Instagram subscription program. It's $5 a month. We actually just did a really fun subscriber roundtable Zoom call last week, which is really fun. I hosted that. We just got to chat it up with our guys for like a solid hour or so and just talk basketball right after the All-Star game. It was really fun. It's $5 a month. It gets you into like private custom content like that just for you guys, and posts and stories and things like that. 20% off specific home games. The schedule has been released for the rest of the year. So if you want discounted tickets, you know, you can join us for $5 and get that. And there's other fun things we do. You know, you're in our group chat, which is really active and fun. So think about that. If you're interested in all of that, want to learn more about that program, go to our Instagram. You can see our pinned post. It's got all that information for you. It's a really solid program. And that $5 basically goes back to you guys. We're going to be doing a new giveaway for you all real soon. And just keeping the party going over there. Before we get too much more into that, we have a couple of ads from our sponsors because this show and this network has got some really dope sponsors, and these sponsors are all about making money in your pockets, all right? The first one is our classic Bet Online. We love Bet Online. It's one of the best betting platforms for sports. I use it. Skinny, I don't know if you bet, but if you do, you should be using Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all things basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. We got the NBA playoffs ramping up real soon with the play-in coming in real soon. March Madness is right around the corner. You know, with up-to-the-minute odds, stats, trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and the best player props. That you all can bet on. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to be a part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, if that wasn't enough betting action for you, we got a new sponsor for this show right now, and for the Orlando Magic HQ podcast. It's a really cool one. It's called Cut. We've got a great new sponsor. I love betting with my friends and betting them on anything. I mean, literally anything. I love to bet and throw money down. It's really fun. I often lose some money, but sometimes I win, and it's really cool. You know, from sports games to, you know, just random one-off like office bets, like who's going to make this ball into the trash can. Cut allows me to do that. Cut is a sick app. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40 plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no needs for Venmo. You want to make a bet with a friend, go to Cut. You guys can do it there. You can throw your own custom odds on it, and boom, it all happens there, which is super fun. It's all good. He's going to jump right back in here. But anyways, that's the type of sports betting you can do with Cut. It's really cool. Use our promo code BLEAVEMAGIC, that's BLEAV magic, all one word, for 10% welcome on your deposit bonus. Don't forget to use that promo code Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, so man, it's been a really fun week. Skinny, the Magic right now are 32-26. They've won seven out of their last 10. They unfortunately just took a loss, but it hasn't been like super smooth sailing. I don't know about what you've been feeling. It hasn't been super smooth sailing since All-Star break. Like teams, we've gotten some wins. We had a really nice win versus Cleveland actually, but like the last couple of games have been a little bit shaky versus Detroit. And then obviously we lost through, to Atlanta. How are you kind of feeling just like since All-Star break coming back, and these last couple of games, you know, few injuries, you know, players being sick, just what are your overall vibes right now with the team?
Well, you see me try not to laugh there. I have to hold back a laugh. Simply, man, the best phrase to describe how I feel is disappointed but not surprised. I think it was All-Star Sunday night or Saturday night, whenever the All-Star game was. Right before the game started, I was like, you know what? I want to look ahead and see what this team might look like coming out of the All-Star break. And when I looked at the first four games, I saw a possible 1-3 start. And it's kind of going how I thought. Obviously, the win in Cleveland is, you know, it's great to get. Obviously, that's a good team. They were second in the East, but coming out of the All-Star break, they're another team that's kind of haven't hit their stride the way they thought they would. Having to get a game winner in Detroit definitely kind of let me know the vibes for this Atlanta game. The first game, one thing I've noticed is guys do have like kind of that spunk in our, they looked well rested coming back, but you know, I think when you come back from the All-Star break, you're looking for those other guys to really step up. I think this was the time I'm looking for Franz to, I think in his last five games, he's only gotten over 20 points one time. I'm looking for Franz to kind of, you know, hit that extra stride. Cole Anthony came out. He's looked a lot better and improved. And that's really all right now, all I can ask from Cole Anthony. And I'm sure there's more we'll touch on, but that's just kind of how I feel coming back from the All-Star break. Just disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah, I feel similar to an extent. I mean, like, you know, you come back and Markel missed the game right before All-Star break, the very last game. But then we come back and he misses the next two and he's on the injury report. And then you hear that, like, Paolo's under the weather and you're just like, man, that's not ideal. That's not an ideal way to come back for the last 27 games. But you know, we had a really nice professional win against Cleveland. Granted, they were missing Donovan Mitchell, but still, they have a great team. They're doing really well. You know, that's a tough win even without Mitchell, but we pulled through, which was really nice. The Detroit game, like, it shouldn't have come. It was just kind of not great basketball coming down to. You know, granted, got to give Detroit some props. Like, you know, they played hard. And we had moments. And, you know, obviously Paulo's game winner was phenomenal. But, like, man, it came down to a game winner for them. You know, granted, they just went wire to wire with the Knicks tonight. So it's like, yeah, maybe we're starting to see a little bit more of a balanced, like, Detroit roster. And maybe we did deserve to play that way, you know, or like, let it get to that point. I'm not sure. But there's just, like, it's kind of like, I always say this, like, you know, I was saying this about the loss last night, like, you know, versus Atlanta. It's not that we lost, it's how we lost, you know? And mm-hmm, I wouldn't have, you know, you're coming off a back-to-back. You got a key rotation player in Jonathan Isaac going down with an injury. You got Paulo, a late scratch, you know, just a couple hours before tip-off. You know, just some, like, I think Gary Harris was out that game too. And it's just like, there's a couple of weird things going on. So it's like, it's kind of understandable if the Magic do not win that game, but, like, it just felt like they were never even in the game in the first place. So it's like, you know, kind of like, not that we lost, it's how we lost. And so I'm just kind of like hoping that we don't go back down this crazy injury bug with all these players right now. And, you know, I'm hoping they rested Paulo, and I'm hoping he comes back feeling good in the next game or two. You know, Jonathan Isaac went down in the Atlanta game. I think, you know, maybe he'd played like 5 or 6 minutes at that point in time. You know, kind of a scare. We're always scared when he goes down and doesn't get up right away. And you know, all the imagery was clean, which was dope. He's actually, like, made questionable for the next game, which is, like, really exciting, which, you know, makes me think, like, yeah, he might miss a game or two, but he should be back relatively soon, which is nice. Feels like we got lucky there. Fultz came back last game, but now Gary Harris was out again. Just like, I'm hoping we can, like, find some injury, like, some health these last games going into the playoff. We really need to find our rhythm and not just, like, go into another, like, injury spell. What are your feelings with this team right now, which is, like, the guys in and out of the rotation just coming back after having, you know, a week off?
I think, you know, there's an obvious kind of talking point when you talk about that. And it really is the Markelle Fultz thing that has caused a bit of concern for me. I mean, him, you know, resting right before the All-Star break, cool, fine. Take that game off.
Makes sense.
That game, picked up, yeah, a good win. Him missing that first game back from the All-Star break, I was kind of like, huh, okay. I believe he missed the first two, correct?
He did, yeah.
He didn't play against two. Detroit either. And, you know, it's been interesting to see what Mose has had to do. And I credit him to really sticking with the – he really has had that mentality that I'm not going to break up that bench unit as much as I can. As much as I can preserve them coming off the bench, I will do that. It's helped him. We had 63 bench points against Cleveland. That was huge for our win that night. I think Anthony Black and Goga, those have been, you know, pretty much the two guys that have been asked to come in, and they're not coming in from the second string. Like I said, those are the Green Goblins. Those are the third stringers. And I think they've done a great job with coming in and doing that. And as much as, you know, obviously it's a great sign to see that your team can do that and form that continuity, it's still not ideal. I think Mose and everyone realizes that, like, yes, it's great that we have a culture like no other. Like, we can really use 1 through 15 here. 1 through 15 is bought into winning, but you want 1 through 5 to be available. And I think it's been very tough for Orlando to have 1 through 5 available at all times. It's been the definition of when NBA fans and players are like, oh, it's going to be scary. It's been terrifying when this team has genuinely been firing on all cylinders. Everyone's healthy, and Mosley has everyone at his disposal. But I think going down the second half of this stretch, man, there's going to be questions. And I have one for you. That's gonna need to be answered. Anthony Black, that's a guy that I named, that he's played well. I think for what he's been asked to do and for what you would expect from a young guard. But one thing he has done is been available and ready to step up, regardless of if he has a bad game, if he, you know, the shot's not falling or something, he is ready to step up. If he's inserted into the starting lineup here at some point and this team gets going, yes, Markell is a vet, but with his injury, you know, history, are you willing to sacrifice putting him back in the starting lineup?
I heard this on the Spaces a few nights ago. At least I think that's where I heard this on. And yeah. I thought about it. One is, well, I'm not really too – just kind of like based off of how his knee has been since like the initial long stint of him being gone, I'm not overly concerned that he's going to be out long enough for us to have that like conversation be a reality. But hypothetically speaking, let's say he does miss, you know, 10 games in a row and Black is just crushing it. And, you know, this is the time when coaches are starting to tighten the rotation, really figure out how they want to play going into the playoffs. It's definitely worth the conversation, but ultimately I think it sort of depends on how Black and that unit is playing, right? Even with Fultz being in and out of the lineup a little bit, when he's able to put some good health together and play well, he does bring things to this team that just Black cannot do. Anthony Black is limited offensively right now. You know, he is not the greatest ball handler and decision maker with the ball in his hands. It's not necessarily a bad one, but he's just not really, he's not pushing limits there. He's just very limited on what he can do there. He plays a very specific role when the ball is in his hands, where Markel Fultz can create a little bit more for himself. He can create a little bit more for others. You know, pretty low turnover. So it's just like, there's some things there that this team could definitely benefit from. But you know, man, like if, let's say he plays on and off the next couple of games and then he's gone for like the remaining, you know, 10 of the last 15 games, you definitely got to have that conversation. And I still think I put Markel Fultz back in. I think you got to just ride with him and just truly with given his contract situation, given that like, yeah, we want to play well in the playoffs, but ultimately we kind of know where this team is going to be at the end of the playoffs. Like, I think you just got to grab as much data as you possibly can and allow Paulo and Franz and the rest of the team to like play like with the best possible player that they can be playing with. So this front office can make decisions based off of having that type of dynamic going into the offseason. That's kind of like ultimately like, I think we'll get more data points with Fultz off of like what we need for this team building and not just like having available point guard, but like, I think we'll gather more of like more information on style of play within the playoffs if we integrate him into the higher pressure games than we would if we have Anthony Black in there. I'm a big Anthony Black believer. I think he's got a really bright future for this team. So it's not a knock on him. It's more of like how I want to gather information going into the off season, if that makes sense. What about you, man? What do you think?
I think, well, first I was, I definitely was a little one-sided before I heard the beautiful explanation that you just had. And definitely it was something that was in the back of my mind, but it's starting to make more sense and become more clear. A definite reason for it to be a for sure conversation is going into the playoffs, you know, everything slows down. It's half court. Now we're running sets. How well can you guys execute? How well can your coach run decoys and disguise here and there? I definitely think that's an aspect for one. Even Anthony Black having to start the 33 so games that he started this year was a big ask. I think asking him to start playoff games would be pretty crazy. I'm thinking about, like, you know, in the playoffs, like I said, it slows down. I think rebounding is going to be something that's going to be another aspect we're going to have to look at during the playoffs. We can get out rebounded. I think there's aspects where AB could play himself to find minutes due to his size, but yeah, I mean, the Markel situation, then it just is kind of what I expected it to be. Yeah, it's a very challenging one, because you cannot deny that man, he can help everyone be better when he's on the court, despite his deficiencies of him not being that much of a prevalent shooter or this, that, and the third. He knows how to get guys in their spots. He knows how to orchestrate an offense. He's a above average defender at the point guard position. So there's a lot of things that he brings, but is he there is the biggest challenge. So,
and I hear you, man. Like, I agree though, that there's definitely aspects of it. You have to ask yourself, like, if Fultz misses, is it in and out of the lineup enough? Like, you just got to go with stability and just build some foundations going into the playoffs? Like, that's a real question too. And I don't necessarily like if your initial gut before you heard me speak was like, yes, I'm sticking with Anthony Black, I wouldn't fault you for that, because I think that's a very rational way of thinking too, right? Because you're building stability there and you're giving Anthony Black, like, who we all know will be on this team next year. And there's not a clear yes if Fultz will. If anything, most of us think maybe he shouldn't be. Like, that's a clear data point too. Let's get Black some real playoff minutes for his development too. Like, that's a very reasonable mindset as well. I might have just talked myself into the other answer.
Did we just flip flop, man?
Maybe
just flip slides. I mean, it's just going to be interesting going down this stretch. My second question for you is Gary Harris. Now, despite him missing this last game, I will say he's been, for me, a guy that was pretty critical of him in the first half. He's been a huge bright spot for me coming back. Yep. He's looked like the Gary Harris that I would hope so. And do you just think that we're hitting that time of year where Gary Harris is like, okay, this is what I do?
Yeah, and I think like there's a difference with Gary Harris missing time and coming back into the lineup and someone like Markelle Fultz, right? Gary Harris has a much smaller and specific role where it's like, you know, I hit open shots, I make smart cuts, and I play good defense. And like, that's a lot easier for, I think, a player to like find their rhythm in, especially someone who's as experienced as Gary Harris, than there is to someone with a more dynamic role, like a point guard, like Markelle Fultz, who's a little, you know, much higher usage and stuff like that. So I'm less concerned if Gary Harris is in and out of the lineup, but like, you know, like, how many times have we seen Gary Harris come back into the lineup and just be like, man, he's really holding us back, right? Because he just doesn't know where to go and where he looks lost. Like, maybe he's missed shots, but he's typically like making smart rotations. He's in the right spots offensively and defensively. Maybe he's just missing shots, but ultimately I think he provides more benefits with his spacing. Now, granted, there's been times where he just can't hit a shot for the life of him. And it hasn't necessarily been the greatest shooting season for him in the world, but he's starting to find his stride again, and he is starting to play pretty well. I'm always kind of team Gary, and I'm always kind of team more spacing, and I'm always kind of team like, I'm going to trust him to do the right things instead of playing like, man, who are options? It's Black or it's Caleb Houston. I'm sorry. I like Caleb. I think he's got a spot in the NBA. I obviously like Black, but this is one of those times where Gary could miss the next 15 games and I want him playing in the playoffs just because he's going to know what to do. What about you, man?
Man, I err on the side of guys like that, it being tougher for them to get back into the rhythm. With obviously, you know, being a role player, it's easier to identify what that role is, but I don't know, for me, Gary, the reason why it's hard for me to see him getting back into a rhythm after missing time is that I've kind of seen it this season when he's come back from missing time. His shot selection is always, I feel like it's been a little, his diet has been a little bit more slim than I personally would enjoy from a good shooter like Gary Harris, regardless if you're shooting the ball well or not. I think when you identify that your role here is to be the shooter, one of the shooters, you know, shoot the ball. I think there's too many games where we kind of find ourselves with, you know, a three attempt, four attempt, you know, game from Gary Harris, two of them being layups or so. A lot of these possessions, you know, we need those threes, Gary, even if they're like, when Mo's always says, if it's a good look, let's take it. Like, let's take those good looks instead of trying to always wait for the great one or just wait for the heave, when the Magic start chucking in those third quarters because no one's moving around. I think he does have the experience and the know-all to be a good playoff contributor. It's just, if I haven't seen you be able to be a regular season riser, I have a hard time seeing you be a playoff riser.
So who would you play instead of him?
Now that's where it gets tricky. I mean, I like... I know you mentioned his name. I think if Caleb Houston gets burned down this next 20 game so stretch, what he can bring is the same as Gary Harris as a wing defender and a knockdown shooter. I mean, I think he's on his way to becoming a knockdown shooter. Gary Harris has been in the league longer. We can pull up his resume. But Caleb has had stretches where he's been really good. I think all season he's been really good from the corners, specifically the right corner. I think he's really, really bad in that left corner. But possibly him. I think, like I said, that's another chance for Anthony Black to try to work himself in those situations. I think it's really going to come down to who can knock down these shots for us. Even a Joe Ingles. I mean, I know he's, you know, the OG of the crew. He can maybe even get more playoff minutes because of the spacing that he brings, the veteran presence that he brings. Because, totally. Like I said, when you get into that half-court setting, having 2 to 3 non-threats on the court and then a full game plan for Paolo and Franz is going to be super, super tough. So I think it's going to be about who's got the hot hand.
You know, I don't necessarily, like, hate that answer. I honestly think, like, if they decide to not play him, I hope they just, like, just squeeze the rotation smaller and just give the current rotation of guards more minutes and, you know, like you said, bump up Joe Ingles' minutes a little bit. You know, if Jonathan Isaac is playing, you know, healthy, you're hoping he's playing 20 plus minutes a game too, which is going to squeeze some minutes from people. But at the same point, I look back at just like the inactiveness of Gary recently. Like, he's missed 2 out of the last like 10 or 12 games since he missed quite a few games, you know, at the beginning of the year. But then in February, he came back, right? And the games that he's missing are just the second night of back-to-backs. So they're just really just not pushing him physically, right? Now, we'll see if he's playing tomorrow, you know, or the next couple of games. But if it's just like resting him on nights of back-to-back, I'm not too worried about him not being in the rotation or finding his rhythm going into the playoffs. But ultimately, no, I hear you, man. If they choose to squeeze him, I'm not putting Caleb Houston in. No disrespect to Caleb Houston. I have not seen enough this season for me outside of like a handful of games where I'm like, is he going to hit the shots we need him to hit?
I will say a healthy Gary Harris is not sitting on your bench. That's not what I'm saying. Right. You're not. If Mosley looks past a healthy Gary Harris on the bench in the playoffs, so help me, good God above. But I think it's just the, you know, like I said, the injury and the consistency. But that, you can say that about a lot of guys. So,
yeah,
it's really,
I hope he's healthy. I like Gary Harris. It'd be interesting to see him in a playoff, you know, since his first time playing in the playoffs since, you know, being with Denver would be pretty fun. But at the same point, you know, like, you're right. You know, he's a low volume scorer for us. He's not a very high volume scorer. And if he's, you know, let's say he's taking 6 shots in the entire time on the court, if half of those are really shitty because he's just not in rhythm, that's you're kind of getting fucked there a little bit. And that's not ideal, right? So no, I hear the worry there. The nice thing is with like both of these like thoughts right now and questions with Markel Fultz and Gary Harris, like we've been talking, is like, we got 24 more games to figure it out. You know, we need to figure it out and hopefully we can figure it out sooner than later. And it's like, we start seeing a pattern of like, oh, Harris is just sitting cause it's a back to back. And, you know, Fultz is, you know, it was just a slow ramp after a weird flare up and we can figure that out. Or man, just make it crystal clear that you're not coming back and let that be too. Cause sometimes a hard no is easier to plan for than a maybe, maybe not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging, man. Dude, it's funny. You know, we're talking a lot about the playoffs right now, and it's like almost every day I look at the schedule, and I'm like, okay, who are we as Magic fans voting for today to like to win a game? Like, who do we want to win right now? You know, I think, you know, tonight we were all rooting for the Pistons. We wanted the Pistons to beat the Knicks, and it came down to the last second, and there was some weird reffing going on there, you know. But it's like, you know, it's kind of been fun going up and down the schedule every night and just like, who do we root for today? You know, I'm typically like anti anyone playing the Pacers, the Knicks, the Heat, anyone that's within a handful of games or, you know, positioning on us. When you are watching games and watching the standings and the playoffs, like, or, you know, the race of the seeding right now, just like, how are you feeling? What are some thoughts going through your head? What are you, when you look at a schedule today, are you analyzing where we could end up even if we're not playing? Like, just give me a little insight on your mindset there with everything.
Well, I think all my friends and my girlfriend would tell you I'm a basketball sicko. So for me, it could literally be the G League Spurs versus the G League Santa Cruz Warriors, and I'd probably turn that on. But no, seriously, sicko. Coming on the second half of the stretch, man, it's so exciting. I think every game is fun to look at, to think about, even to the point where you're looking around at injuries across the league. And you're like, huh, okay. I mean, I know that guy's not out for the rest of the year, but these, you know, 8 to 10 games he might miss, that's looks good for us, you know, especially you look at Philly, they're missing Embiid. The Hawks are going to be down Trae Young. Usually when I wake up, like, same as you, man, I look at the schedule, look at the standings. I'm okay. Let's see who's playing today. I've been giving West Coast teams a lot of love this year. I think I've, due to League Pass, I've really gotten out and watching a lot of West Coast teams, especially the Clippers. I think that's a legit team.
Super fun.
I'm starting to purchase stock in the Oklahoma City Thunder having genuine, like, decent playoff success. Better than a young team playoff success. I think they could have, I think if they get there, they can have like that second round appearance kind of thing for a young team. It's just the West is ridiculously stacked, man. Like, all those first round series could be Western Conference final series, essentially the way it looks over there.
Totally.
Across the East, I like watching teams. Tonight, I watched the Grizzlies and Nets game because, you know, we got Brooklyn coming into town tomorrow night. But that was a tough watch. Nets were up like 20 with, I think, like 6 minutes left in this first half. So it wasn't really too much of an interesting game. But usually, man, second half, I'm starting to look at, okay, what are coaches doing? What are they changing? Because I've watched so much of these teams early on in the first half. And I really like to watch the veteran coaches, like Carlisle. I'm going to be watching him tough down the stretch just because, like, how are you going to get a team that's so tremendous offensively but historically bad defensively to be successful in the playoffs? Because I think they're going to make the playoffs as well. But totally. That's a team I'd love to find a matchup with in the first round because I think we match up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here, like, you know, and it's funny because it's like, it's possible that we could end up matching with the Pacers if the Heat keep falling and, you know, one of us catch the, we'd have to somehow get into the 4 or 5. We'd have to hope the Knicks kind of unravel a little bit, which I'm not sure it's going to necessarily happen, but that would be a fun one. But it's like, man, dude, there's so much jumping right now, right? Like, just like 2 days ago, we were in like the sixth or seventh, the fifth or sixth seed, and now we are in the eighth. And tomorrow, if things go well, we could be back in the seventh. It's just, it's changing every single night, which is kind of wild to think. I'm pretty optimistic that, like, we're going to be a playoff team no matter what. You know, even if we hit the play-in, like, I doubt we're going to lose 2 play-in games to either Chicago or Atlanta, you know, to make it. Like, I think we're there. And the, you know, I'm kind of like, I wouldn't hate a Knicks matchup if we could get, you know, if they stay in the 4, if we could get to the 5, that would be cool. But we gotta find some steam because, you know, the Heat are starting to, they're an interesting team, but you can never count out Jimmy. You can never count out Spo. You know, two awesome playoff people in general. You know, the coach is a cheat code in himself. You know, like you said, Rick Carlisle and the Pacers, he's definitely a playoff experience coach. They have a potent offense. That's going to be a fun team. You know, the NBA darling of Tyrese Halliburton that everyone loves, like, you know, he's a beast. And then Philly, like, what's going on with them? They still haven't even, like, mentioned, like, like if Joel Embiid's going to come back and whatnot. I know he's got a reevaluation coming up soon, but that's the team we need to like get some L's coming. And the Pacers too. Like those are like the two teams I'm kind of watching right now. I feel like the Heat are going to heat, but the Pacers and Philly are the ones that I see with some turbulence really going forward.
I'm ready to get bold, Steven.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bold, man. I'm ready to just go ahead and say I think that fifth seed has – I think it says Orlando when you look at the last – when you look at the standing on the last day of the season. I definitely think Miami's going to be hot on our ass for sure.
Yeah.
And I know they have the season series above us, so that pretty much means we're going to have to win out more than them, and I definitely think that's possible. I definitely think they're going to start to win, but they're going to rest Jimmy and Bam, and they're going to slow down, you know.
And it's funny that you say that because like if I don't necessarily think that's too crazy to think because there's only two more back-to-backs in our schedule. We have an 8-game homestand. I don't know the name off the top. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but like I think we have the most games versus teams that are sub 500, and our record versus those teams is like pretty incredible. And yeah, there's a couple more road trips, but neither one of them are more than 3 games long. So it's like, we're going to be all right, man. We have a really good shot at going on a run here. Granted, got to get some health. We got to get these guys healthy, but I definitely think we can avoid the play-in. I will 100% agree with that. Sure. I definitely think we can and should avoid the play-in. That is real. It's like, I'm saying that we're in eighth place, but at the same point, I just mentioned earlier, we could be in sixth tomorrow or, you know, the following day, which is just kind of wild how things are playing out. Is there like, what's like the ultimate matchup that you think is realistic for the Magic to be successful in the first round?
I'd say,
like, does New York scare you?
Oh, they don't terrify me. Like, I'm not gonna lose sleep at night, but I will be wired throughout the day about them.
Yeah. You know what scares me about New York? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm on like, no. I just gotta mention, the home crowd is going to be real interesting if we play New York because there's just so many fucking New Yorkers that are like living in Orlando. Like, sorry guys, put on a goddamn Magic jersey and yell for the local team. I don't want your Knicks shit in the Kia Center. All right, get it out of here. Sorry,
it's ridiculous. I had to go on my rant. No, that's completely fair because that's a whole another aspect that I genuinely was not even considering. I think the first aspect was just like their size.
Yeah,
and I really think they're going to be healthy by the time playoffs roll around, man. I don't know. I saw that Cleveland team last year; just they got ragdolled. I think we have the defense to suppress their guards. I just really think that'll just be a gritty series. Like I think it'll be like every time we play the Knicks, it's a pretty gritty game, pretty much, man. It's like, somebody may go off, you know, like Apollo may go off. I think he had 38. Brunson may go off. But other than that, it's like a 1980s Knicks and Heat matchup pretty much. It's going to be like 85 to 91 and 2 minutes left in the fourth. I think I still like my chances with New York in the first round. I love my chances with Indiana. I don't like playing Milwaukee? Miami. No, I don't.
You think they're going to have their shit together in time for, they've won 37 games, so they obviously have their shit together to an extent, but like, you know, that is a realistic matchup, right? You know, if we get in the sixth spot and they stay in the third, like that's a realistic matchup. And what gives me pause about them is like, you know, we do have some good guard defenders to fuck with Dame, and like our team is big. We can match up with them size wise. Throw J.I. on Giannis all day if he can do it. Just like push that dude, and Oh, man. And just hope that there's still just enough imbalance in their coaching and their schemes that they're still figuring shit out with Doc behind the realm, you know? Like, I don't know. I think that could be a good matchup for us. I mean, it'd be a hard matchup, but, like, at least we'd have a home crowd, you know? Yeah. At least we'd have a home crowd.
For sure. I would actually, you know, thinking more about that, when I would say when you first asked me, I looked at them at face value, you know, Dame and Giannis, playoffs, sure. Whatever.
Scary.
What bench unit against bench unit? I think we win that. The points in the paint battle, you're probably never really truly win that against a team with Giannis on it. But yeah. I think we still, other than him, I can't really name guys that are gonna, you know, body up us. Like you said, we got the size to match up with those guys. You know, you're never gonna stop guys. But if I can contain Damian Lillard and make Chris Middleton be the Chris Middleton of old, make Malik Beasley shoot 40% from three. I think this team can really shock a lot of people. And I've had such a high belief on them. I have really no reason to doubt them. I think I always, any game they go into, any series they get into, I'll look at it and be like, nah, we got a fighting chance. That's why, like you said at the top of the show, it was not how we lost in Atlanta. I mean, it was not that we lost in Atlanta. It was how we lost, because we didn't give ourselves a chance. We have a chance every time we step in the building. And as long as those guys go out and know that and show that, I think they can have a chance against anybody, really, except the Boston Celtics the Celtics this year, man.
Yeah, we need to avoid the eighth at all possible, at all costs. Avoid eighth seed. I don't even want to, like, I guess Milwaukee and Cleveland are kind of battling out now for the second seed. They both have 37 wins, and that I guess could go either way. But, like, I kind of think we're realistically looking at New York, Milwaukee, or Cleveland, and I kind of like they got championship pedigree, but Milwaukee might be the least scary team out of all of them, just because of some of the facts that you were talking earlier with the bench unit. And also I'm just like banking that there's some instability going on with their organization on the court because they didn't go through a training camp with Doc Rivers yet. You know, that might be wishful thinking. They might have their shit together, because there's a bunch of smart basketball players on that court, and Doc gets a lot of shit for some stuff, but he's also a really smart basketball coach as well. And so that maybe I should wish for the Cavs, but that's an interesting one, man. It's an interesting one. Skinny, as we wrap this podcast up, man, I just like the next couple of games coming up are, I'm pulling up the schedule. You know, we got, well, a lot of Magic fans will be listening to this on Tuesday, the day we play the Brooklyn Nets. Thursday, we got the Utah Jazz, then a couple days off, then we have the Detroit Pistons in town. You know, those are like the next three games. If you're looking at the next three games, like, what do you think the Magic record's going to be? They're all at home. It's a three-game homestand.
Yeah, it's a very important three-game homestand. Man, wishful thinking, I think, at this point from what I've seen out there. Nah, man, let's be confident here. I think 2-1. I think I'll say 2-1. Either that Utah game or that Brooklyn game tomorrow is going to be a toss up. One of those two is going to be dicey. I remember when Utah came to town last year, that was dicey. But you talked about us having later on in the season a 7-game home stretch. I remember the last time we had
eight game home stretch.
I remember last time we had a home stretch somewhere that long, we went undefeated. So
yeah,
I like our chances every time we play at home. I'm gonna stick with 2-1. What about you?
Yeah, I think unless something squirrely happens with Utah, I actually think we could go 3-0 here. You know, if Paulo gets you know this bug out of his system, you know, and you know Gary Harris is back finding his way again, and you know J.I. maybe misses one game. Like, the only game I'm really kind of scared of is Utah. Like, Brooklyn's a shit show. Detroit, we should beat them, right? It got close, but we should beat them after a couple days rest too. So Jazz is the one that's a little bit scary, but you know, where are they in the standings right now? They got 27 wins. They're just out of the play-in. They could try and make the play-in. Are they sneaking back Los Angeles in? And I mean, they got 27. They're a few games above Houston Rockets, but Golden State and the Lakers are also starting to roll and figure out some things. So I don't necessarily know if they're going to make it, but I could see them trying still for another week or two. So it could be that. That's the game I'm worried about. But 2-1 should be the worst we go in the next three games. So yeah,
absolutely.
Which would be cool. I mean, like if we went 2-1, or that would be awesome in the next three. I'd be really, really psyched on that. 3-0 would be better, but 2-1 would be awesome. Skinny man, I wanna say thank you. I appreciate you coming on the show. Welcome to the HQ team. Once again, give everyone a shout out where they can find you and where they can find your work.
Hey man, I appreciate you for having me. It was dope to join, get to chat it up with you, talk some good Magic hoops. As you guys know, I'm part of Orlando Magic HQ. You can find me on Twitter at Stuff's Burner or Skinny Hardaway. You can also find me on Instagram at CharlieBoy2K. We'll probably leave that stuff linked. But I'm always out, ready to talk some hoops, man. You guys just hit me up anytime you want.
Yes, sir. All right. And dude, absolutely. We'll definitely be getting you on again soon. You know, listeners of the show, thank you for tuning in to another week of The Close Up. I really appreciate it. I wanted to get this out to you. I'm pushing off packing for a work trip right now to bring you guys podcast content. You guys cannot go a week without it. So it's basketball season. It's a lot of fun. I'm loving it. Skinny's loving it. Thank you all for tuning in. Another week of The Close Up. Peace. Let's go Magic.
Go Magic, baby.